With us as we continue to talk about the Lord's Prayer. We thank you, Father, for the great insight that you give to us about what we're to pray for and for the wisdom that you impart to all of us through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to this petition today, we started off talking about the Lord's Prayer. We talked about, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we turn the corner today to the next phrase in the prayer, which is praying for our daily bread. And, you know, we go through this process. You know, we pray to the Father about his name, hallowed be thy name. We pray to the Father about his kingdom, asking his kingdom to come. We pray to the Father about his will, asking his will to be done, and accepting, in the process of praying those prayers, responsibility for helping make those things happen. In the second half of the prayer, as we start here, Jesus teaches us to pray for ourselves and for others. There's a pray for provision, give us this day our daily bread. There's a pray for pardon, forgive our debts. And there's a prayer for protection, lead us not into temptation. And there's a switch in the terminology. Up until this point, as we've been praying, it's all you and yours. It's all addressed at God. It's all about God, your will, your kingdom, your name. It's all there. And it switches from your to us. It switches from addressing God to addressing our needs. And it does teach us the basic concept that when we start in prayer, we should address the concerns of God. And after we've addressed the concerns and worship of God, then we can address our own needs. And it gives us a little pattern to follow. It's always good to say that and to understand that. And in this, in these three petitions that follow, talking about our needs, we are quite literally inviting God into the tiniest details of our everyday lives. And you could say that maybe in those first three, maybe, you know, could be considered very theological or theoretical or a little esoteric. But when you get start talking about praying for our bread, you know, praying for these daily needs, it gets very real all of a sudden. And, you know, we're going to get there. We move from talking about God and some of those issues of worship. Now we're talking about our needs. And it gets very real. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that these three petitions cover a lot of ground. You know, we have this prayer for bread, which is a prayer of provision. And that takes care of our present. That we have a prayer of asking him to forgive us our sins. And that is a pardon that takes care of our past. And we pray for protection, lead us not into temptation, which takes care of our future. So we're laying the very details of our lives out before the Lord, and we need to understand that, and it really opens the door to tell us that there is nothing. Here's a list of things. This just opens the door for the things that we can bring before God. And we want to understand that. You know, it's a great way to turn around, and now God is, we've addressed him, we've lifted him up, we've asked his will to be done, his kingdom to come, we've accepted our part of the responsibility for making that happen. And now we can say, we can bring him, we've brought ourselves up to him, now he wants to come down into our lives. And he starts off with this simple petition, give us today our daily bread. And when it says bread, you know what it means? Bread. The word itself just means common, ordinary bread. It does have implications and symbolic meaning in Scripture. We'll get to that. But literally, he's just saying this common, ordinary, daily bread. You know, that's all it means. It doesn't mean anything fancy. It just means that every day. He's saying that when we pray, we ought to be praying for those normal, everyday things. Now understand that. We're inviting him into the teeniest details of our lives. And at heart, it is a prayer for food. You know, it's particularly, say, a grace that you need to say before you sit down to eat. But it is something that we're praying for God to meet our needs, and it's a prayer for food, and we need to understand that. You know, most of us don't really get to a point where we, you know, don't know what we're going to eat. We don't have any idea where the next meal is coming from. And so we would pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, because we don't know where it's coming from. Most of us, if we were going to pray about the food we were going to eat, we would pray, God, you know, please prevent me from eating another meal. I've already eaten too much. That's where most of us live. You know, we're going to pray, God, keep me from taking another bite, you know. And we don't know this need of everyday bread. But we need to understand in the culture of Jesus' day, and in the culture of about 75 to 80% of the world today, doesn't live like you and I live. I mean, if your house is like my house, we go shopping and we'll go buy food and we'll bring it home. We'll stick it in the refrigerator and in the cupboard. And except for minor things that we run out of, we can get by for a week. You know, in most of the world, it's not that way. In most of the world, there's no particular refrigeration. And people go buy today the food they're going to eat today. And so the rest of the world sees this in a much more real way than you and I do. Because we go buy, you know, we go buy enough bread to last us for a week. You know, we go buy enough bread that we get to that last piece of bread, we're still seeing if it's changed colors or not. Right? I mean, if it starts growing stuff, you don't particularly want to eat it, right? The rest of the world doesn't have that problem. And so Jesus is dealing with how the world sees this on a day-to-day basis, this need for bread, and understanding that. You know, I mean, we can all remember that childhood prayer, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, by his hands we all are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. You know, it's not a bad way to look at it. We need to understand that we're praying for food, and we get that. But in the scripture, also, bread has some symbolic meanings, and it literally can symbolize all the material blessings, all the material needs you have in your life. It's not particularly just about the bread you're going to slice and eat with, you know, a piece of cheese and a piece of bologna. He's talking about everything you're going to need. In fact, when Martin Luther was writing about this part of the phrase, this part of the prayer, when he was writing what they call the Small Catechism, he says, what does this mean? Truly God gives daily bread even to evil people, even without our prayer. But we pray this request that he will help us realize this and receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. That's an important concept. And then he goes on to say, what does daily bread mean? It means everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yards, fields. And he goes on to list this long list of things. And he ends up, and other things like this is the last phrase that he says, other things like this. Doesn't leave anything out. So when Jesus says, okay, you're going to pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, you know, the first meaning is our daily bread, what you need. You have a need to eat today, and that's what you're going to pray for. And the rest of the world will see that very deliberately as, you know, they got to go out in the morning and buy food for that day. And then it also carries the idea that it's not just for physical bread, but for all the material needs of your life. And we need to understand that. Now, the second part of this, another part of it is, he says, give us this day our daily bread. I want to tell you something about this prayer. Over the years, theologians really struggled with this. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you'll hear people talk and say, you know, when they use this word in the Bible, it means this. Bread is a common word. And when it uses the word bread, it means bread. You know, it may have other symbolized meaning, but it means bread. The word daily here is used twice in all of the Bible. It's used twice, both times in the New Testament. And both times that it was used in the New Testament, it was in the two times that Jesus teaches this prayer. So this word is only used here in this context. There's no other reference, there's no other place in the Greek, in the original language, where this word is used. So for a long time, scholars were trying to figure this word out. What is he trying to say? And some were thinking that maybe even that they, you know, sort of made up this Greek word because there was nothing in Aramaic. They couldn't find anything to tie it to for many years. But not too long ago, probably about 10, 15 years ago, researchers found this word in a fragment of a parchment. And you know, when you find something that's, you know, dates back to Jesus' time or close to that time, and you find a word that you never found anywhere else in the New Testament, And they found this word. And so they, what does this mean? And they began to look at the fragment they found, this parchment they found that had this word on it. You know what it was? How many of you go shopping with a shopping list? It was a lady's shopping list. That's where they found this word. And next to certain items on her list, she wrote the Greek word that is translated daily. And in the context, it meant buy it daily or buy it today. And so we get sort of reassured that that's what it means, you know. So if you pray this prayer at night, you're praying, you know, if you're praying it at night, give us this tomorrow the bread we're going to need for tomorrow. It's a day-by-day kind of a thing, you know, and doing all of that. Now, that's what it means. And I guess if we needed to, we could stop right here. But you know that's not in my nature. And I think there's some things we need to talk about. I think as we look at this prayer, these few words, I think there's some things that we can get out of these few words, because I think it's more than just a prayer for bread. I think this is a hint at how God wants us to live. This is a hint of the kind of way he wants us to live. And many have called it daily bread living. Living a life that's based upon this prayer has some implications to it. And all of it come out of this word. So I want to give you four things that come out of this prayer, these few little words, that give us four steps to how to live sort of a daily bread kind of a life. It's hard for us to do this. This is difficult for us to do this because, I mean, some of you are going to leave today and you're going to, you're not going to drive through McDonald's, that's for sure, at least not for a while, or not the one across the street. Some of you are going to drive through somewhere, pick up food, and take it home. Some of you are going to go home and fix food, and that's what most will do, go home and fix food they already have. We have a hard time with this concept of what he's talking about here. But there are principles that we can learn, that we can adopt, so that we can understand what Jesus is trying to say. So the first step to daily bread living is gratitude to God for all of his blessings. Because the first word in this prayer is give. Give us today our daily bread. It is a request that teaches us that everything we have comes from God. I'm going to tell you, you want to change how you look at your life? And here's an attitude. Here's an attitude that comes out of this prayer. You want to change how you look at your life? You begin to look at your life that every day, every person, everything you have in your life is something that comes directly from God. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that's what the Scripture says. And the Scripture actually teaches us that we need to recognize everything as a gift of God. And if you begin to recognize that, begin to understand that, you begin to grasp a hold of how God wants you to respond to life. And it will change how you look at things, because there are going to be people in your life you're going to have a hard time with. There are some really difficult... Did you know there's difficult people out there? You know, there are people who just don't understand you as a Christian. There are people who, you know, who maybe you work for that, you know, that never understood the term management. You know, I mean, there are some difficult people in difficult situations. But God wants you to be able to turn around in your life and look at everything that takes place in your life and everything you have in your life as a gift from him. Everything. That's hard for us to do at times. But listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 8:10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. He says, when you've eaten and satisfied, he didn't say praise God and thank him for what you just ate. He said, thank him for the land he's just given you. Thank you for this whole thing that allows you to have this. Thank him for the context of your life. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and you have given, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. As they were collecting things for the temple and collecting things to beautify the temple and do all of those things, and it was just outpouring of everything they needed. And they said, who are we to do this? Everything you gave us, we are giving back to you only everything you give us, is we're just giving it back into your hand. We recognize that. In Psalm 145:6, David says, open your hand and satisfy the desires of the living. You ever stop on that? Think about the splendor of creation and all the things that God could have done. I mean, God could have made creation and it'd just be, you know, sometimes they call this earth a ball of mud, and he could have just made it a ball of mud and then made us and said, okay, here's your breakfast, it's mud. And you want to have dinner? You have that mud over there. But he didn't. He made this world in HD, didn't he? In high definition. This world is in high definition. And it is a gift. And everything in it is a gift to you from God. You change that mindset. You get that mindset up there in your mind that everything you have, every person, every breath, every day, everything in your life, your ability to work, what you do, the people you share your life with, your children or grandchildren playing at your feet, your friends, the ability to come and worship, every time you get in your car, everything comes from him. If you begin to acknowledge that, that will change you forever. And when it changes you forever, you know what it does? It builds a wall of grace around your heart and spirit. And all those difficult people out there and all that evil in there can't get in. It is a wall of protection. And we need to see that and understand that and grasp a hold of that. A few years ago, I happened to catch an interview. It was many years ago, actually. I was thinking about it. It's probably about 10 or 15 years ago. With Hamilton Jordan. Anybody remember that name? Probably not. He was chief of staff under President Jimmy Carter. And he wrote a book called No Such Thing as a Bad Day. And his own story of being diagnosed with cancer on three separate occasions before he was 50. And someone in the interview, they said, well, where did the title come from? And he said that he called a friend with cancer who was also the father of several young children. And after they chatted a bit, Mr. Jordan asked his friend, are you having a bad day? And his friend, this guy, young man with cancer with three young children, was given 3 months to live, said this, when the doctors tell you you only have 3 months to live, there is no such thing as a bad day. Well, what truth lies in those words, right? What truth we can find there? If you're only going to live for a few weeks, every day becomes precious. And you simply don't have time to have a bad day. You get up every morning and you smell the roses and you smell the coffee. You go through your day and everything is a gift. And he recognized that. This guy recognized that. And he was saying there's no such time. Because, you know, that's different from how most of us live. Most of us think we're going to live a long time. I'll tell you what, having a bad day is a luxury we give ourselves because we figure we got a long time, many years to go, and we can go to the corner and we can pout and we can be miserable and have a pity party and feel sorry for ourselves because we got a long life and it's all going to work out. We got time to have a bad day. I don't think so. Think of our prayer request this morning. Think of Bonnie Link having a little time, a little trouble catching her breath. Goes to the doctor, finds out she has stage 4 breast cancer that has metastasized all through her body. Don't know what the time is, but I tell you, it ain't going to be very much. That lady doesn't have time for a bad day. But I'll tell you what, last week, she thought she did. You don't know what's going to happen. And give us this day our daily bread is telling us that we have to live a life in gratitude. In one of his sermons, a preacher from last century, Dr. Harry Ironside, tells a story of when he was a young man, he went into a cafeteria to eat, and the tables were crowded, and there was no place where he could sit by himself, and he saw a table with just this other guy sitting there, and sit down across from the other man. So he sat down, and as was his habit, Dr. Ironside bowed his head and gave thanks. And the other man sort of glowered, you know, just sort of stared at him while he was doing it, as soon as he was finished, the man said, what's the matter with you? Something wrong with your food? And he looked down and said, no, it looks fine. The guy said, do you have something in your eye? Do you have a headache? Dr. Ironside said, no, I'm feeling fine. And the guy said, well, what were you doing then? Why did you bow your head? And Dr. Ironside said, "Oh, well, I was just giving thanks to God for the food I was about to eat." And the man looked at him and said, "You believe that stuff? That's crazy." And he said, "Well, sir, don't you give thanks for your food?" And he says, "No, I never give thanks. I jump right in." And then Dr. Ironside said this, "Well, you're just like my dog then. He doesn't give thanks either. He just jumps right in." I love that story. You know, you're living your life with an attitude of thanks. Second step to this, the second part of this comes from another set of words. Second key is in the very last word, "Give us this day our daily bread." Bread. We're invited to pray for bread, not for cake. We're invited to pray for our needs, not for our greeds. We're not invited to pray for our daily desserts. I like to think of this. I was looking at this the other day, and I was thinking about it, and we don't have a whole lot of references to it, but I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. You know, you ever think about what Jesus ate? I mean, he was invited to a lot of banquets. I mean, time and time again, he's sitting at the banquet, and they're asking him questions, and I'm sure that he enjoyed, you know, some great festivals, some very rich food and sumptuous banquets. In fact, the Pharisees called him a glutton and a drunkard because he would go to these feasts and partake just like everybody else. But there's only a couple of times in Scripture, but when Jesus cooked, when he himself cooked the meal, it was baked fish and daily bread. It was really simple. And that's the idea. You see, there's a verse in Psalm 30 that says this: "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I might have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become too poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." What a wonderful outlook in life. Don't make me too rich. Don't make me too poor. You know, just give me enough so I can be dependent upon you. See, that's the idea. He says, pray for your daily needs, not your daily greeds. Third step to daily bread living is the confidence that God will meet your needs day by day. It says, give us this day our daily bread, day and daily bread. That kind of an idea means it's going to meet it on a daily basis. That all comes from Exodus 20, Exodus, I think, 16. I don't know if you remember Exodus 16. Moses is leading the children of Israel. You know, they've gone through the Red Sea. They've gone into the wilderness. He's rescued them. They've had all the 10 plagues that struck Egypt, and they've parted the water. They've done all these great miraculous things. God is in front of them every day in a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night over the tabernacle. The presence of God is real and visible. They can look and say, see, the presence of God is right there. They can see the pillar of fire. They can see the pillar of smoke. And yet 3 days into it, they come to Moses and they start complaining because, hey, we were in Egypt. At least we ate every day. What are we going to do, starve out here? And they started complaining. And Moses addressed, you know, took that to God. And what God did was he did a couple of things. He had the quail fly in low from over this, from out over the water where they had passed through. And they would fly in low after flying across. The idea was they would cross over here, cross the water. By the time they got across the water, they were tired. Quail don't fly that far. So they were coming in low. So God made them come in low right over the camp. And then they would also wake up in the morning and there would be this stuff on the ground they called manna. It tasted like honey bread. So God began to provide for them every day. Meat and bread. Every day. But he said, when you go out in the morning and you collect the quail and the bread, don't take more than you need, because if you take more than what's going to last you today, it's going to be eaten by maggots. Just take, you know, that's not how we would look at it, is it? We would look at it and say, hey, we got to fill my freezer. You know what the next week's going to be like. We got to make sure we got enough. God was saying, no, you got to do this day by day. New Testament tells us to live day by day as well. We need to understand that. We need to be able to address this daily dependence upon God. See, we have daily gratitude to God for every gift he gives us and a daily confidence that he's going to take care of us day by day. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We face situations and we don't know what's going to happen. You know, you have a doctor's appointment, you don't know what the doctor's going to say. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And this prayer is teaching us to have a confidence that God is going to be there every day and trust Him. Because life is uncertain. There is an increasing uncertainty about it. And God wants us to move from self-sufficiency to God-sufficiency. To move from trusting in our own ability to trusting in His ability. I remember reading about this young lady in a church, and she was a young single mom, and she was working, starting her own business, trying to get things going. Things were tough, and the pastor stopped by and was talking to her, and he said, "How's this going?" And she said, "Well, we're barely making it through. June was tough, but I've got two jobs for July. We're going to be okay for July, and that's the way it is. Just about when we're about to run out, God brings a little bit more work in." See, that's the way that's how she had developed that, just getting by, just barely getting by. Just when she wasn't sure what was going to happen, God would take care of it. You trust God like that? Or you just trust in yourself? Do you trust God to provide for the future no matter what happens? Or do you just trust in your savings account and 401k, whatever? You see what I mean? We have to learn who we trust. The fourth step to this daily bread living is living in generosity toward those who are less fortunate. There is a key word in the midst of this. Give us this day our daily bread. Us and our. There's never a place in this prayer, never a place in this prayer when it is me or I. It is never a place in this prayer for God, give me what I need today. It is always in the context of our and us. It is always in a bigger picture, a bigger context. You know, you're never invited to pray simply alone. You're always invited to pray our in the plural. Give us today what we need today. Taking into the fact that we all eat from the same table, this petition gives us a vastness to our prayers, and it touches the idea that there are people all around us who need help. And when we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, again, every time we come to one of these parts of the prayer, there's some part where we have to accept responsibility. You get to choose whether you're going to have a heart of gratitude or not. You get to choose whether you're going to have a heart of contentment or not. You get to choose whether you're going to have here a heart of generosity or not. You get to choose whether you're going to have a heart of trust and faith or not. Do we have a responsibility in this? And when he's saying you're praying the Lord's Prayer and you get to give us this day our daily bread, you are accepting responsibility not just for a heart of gratitude and contentment and a heart of faith, but a heart of generosity. There are people around you in need. We were having this great discussion in Sunday school this morning, and one of the verses that came up that I mentioned in context of what we were talking about is at the end of time when Jesus comes back, the lost, all of those who do not know Jesus, who never accepted Jesus or rejected Jesus, you know, go straight, you know where, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Only those who are saved are left, and then those who are saved, he separates the sheep from the goats. And he says to the goats, get away from me, you evildoers. And the goats, wait a minute, Lord. We were in church every Sunday. We were raising holy hands to you. We were praising you. What do you mean, get away? He says, why would we do that? He says, because when I was hungry, you never fed me. When I was ill, you never comforted me. When I was in prison, you never visited me. When I was naked, you never clothed me. Well, when didn't we do this to you, Lord? Didn't do it to the least of these. God takes the our and us part of this prayer extremely seriously. Because there's going to be an accounting. And he says, if you didn't, you know, you can come make lots of noise for me in church every Sunday. But if you're not taking care of business by taking care of the people around you, I have no part with you. That may go against popular theology, but Jesus was very good at going against popular theology. There's no way around what he said. So give us this day our daily bread means that we take what Jesus said in Luke's Luke 6:38, given will be given to you. That idea, that's the promise. He says, we read that, given it'll be given unto you. We think, well, he's given it to us. But if you read that whole verse, it's so you can give more away, so that you can do more for other people. Okay? We have to accept that responsibility that comes with it. So in all of this, let me see what we've learned. Biblical Economics 101. Principle 1, everything you have comes from God. Principle number 2, everything that is given to you is given in trust to you. Principle number 3, the blessings you have are not given to you for your personal benefit. Principle number 4, what is given to you in trust is given that you might share it with others. To go through daily bread living means we live a life of sharing and generosity. And that's the idea. And we need a place to start. And this little prayer is a good place. It's a whole new way of looking at life, isn't it? Looking at life with gratitude, looking at life with confidence that God is going to take care of business, looking at life with faith and that trust, looking at life with the idea that if he's going to take care of me, I'm going to take care of the people around me. I'm going to pass this on as it should be. What does this teach us? Gratitude to God for all of his blessings. Contentment that with God, with what he's already given you. Confidence that God is going to meet your needs day by day in the future. And generosity towards those who are less fortunate for you. You see, a thankful heart cannot be cynical. Let me say that again. A thankful heart cannot be cynical. We have enough cynics in the world. We have enough critics in the world who find it their mission in life to criticize everything and be cynical about everything. We've got enough of those in the world. He's not called us to do that. And I'm not saying we're to be just rollovers and fall for every scheme down the road, but I am saying that we need to take care of business. We need to be generous. I just remember the axiom for newspaper reporters was that if your mother says she loves you, check it out. We do need to have an awareness of what's going on in the world so we're not taken for granted, but at the same time, gratitude and contentment and faith and generosity are to be the marks, and they all come out of this prayer. The thankful heart cannot be cynical. So how's your heart today? Is gratitude how you would describe it? You think back on this week and everything that's happened to you in this week, and I know some of you have had some really tough weeks. But is gratitude how you would describe how your heart is with God? How about contentment? I think it's very interesting that this sermon comes. What was the Powerball jackpot last night? Oh, you know! Yeah, I knew something. Heard it on the news, there was a feeding frenzy at the 7-Eleven, How content are you with what you have? How much do you trust God to take care of business? Okay. How generous are you with what you've already been given? That's what this prayer teaches. It's all an attitude of the heart. Yes, it's as simple as give us this day our daily bread. And if you do that, you're doing well. But understand the responsibilities that come with that. And if you want your life to be different and you want to build a shell of protection around your spirit and heart that all the evil in the world will have a hard time breaking through, gratitude is the place to start. Do all this. Even the New Testament says do everything with thanksgiving. And after you've done everything, give thanks. It surrounds everything. Gratitude and contentment and faith and generosity. You mark your lives with those things, and you will be useful to God. And you'll definitely be on the sheep side of the equation. You don't have to worry about being on the goat side because you messed up today. Because I can promise you this, every single one of us is going to mess up today. I can guarantee you, and my family will testify to this, I will mess up somewhere today. I'm just spectacularly at times. And he's not going to put you on the goat side of this equation because you mess up. That's not it. It has to do with the attitude of your heart. It has to do with gratitude and contentment and trust and generosity. Those things coming out of your heart because God has been those things to you, that's what will do it. So I want to urge you this week, do a little daily bread living. Some of you have been there. Some of you have been there where you didn't know where your next meal was. I've been there where you didn't know where your next meal was coming from. Some of us have been there. You know, and that makes it very real. But it's easy to forget that when the reefer is full, right? It's all here. This week, daily bread living. Go for it and watch what God does in your life. Father, thank you. Help us to get this concept. Just a few little words asking for our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And it's a simple thing, Father, and we can take it simply just as it is and be okay. But there's so much behind it. Are we grateful? Are we content? Do we trust you? Are we generous? All of those things come into play. Because that's what you expect from us. You sent your son to die on the cross for us. You let him pay the ultimate price that we would be forgiven. And we would be given a new heart. And that new heart is supposed to look like this. So help us to fulfill that destiny and that will you have for us. You said that you have created works for us to do. What are those things? Gratitude, contentment, faith, generosity. That's where you want us. In fact, Lord, I think we can sit there and say, we just last week talked about the fact that we prayed for your will to be done and not ours. And then you answered the question of what your will is. Gratitude, contentment, faith, generosity. You help us to see what it means to do your will on this world. Help us to live in that will this week. We pray in Jesus' name.